Welcome to the Stadium Club, a WGN Radio deep dive into the homes and future homes of Chicago sports teams.
Today's ceremony was about groundbreaking for what will be the home to the Northwestern Wildcats football team. It's a 35,000-seat stadium, but will have many of the modern amenities that people want now.
Northwestern University released an animation today showing the vision for the new Ryan Field.
As the football stadium continues to take shape, so do plans for how else the sports venue will be used.
Just being able to get multiple people, not just the football team, out on the stadium, it's just going to bring more attention to the stadium and the school itself.
Now, here's your host, WGN's Ryan Burrow.
Pat Ryan Jr.'s LinkedIn bio reads, building a football stadium. He's doing it on Northwestern's campus right now. He and Ryan Sports Development. Of course, his family has a long history of Chicago sports. Northwestern, the Bears, Penske Racing, the 2016 Chicago Olympic bid. Thanks so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Oh, glad to be here.
You're not just building a stadium. You're building the most expensive college football stadium with really kind of a fraction of the seating capacity of some of these Goliath stadiums we see, Beaver Stadium, the Big House, Ohio State. Can you give me kind of a brief overview? Let's start with maybe some of the features we'll be seeing with this new stadium.
Yeah, a couple of things. So first of all, Ryan Sports Development, we're the pro bono developer of this. We're not making any money off it because as a family and a foundation, we're donating the lion's share of the funding. But in doing this, you know, this only happens every 100 years. And if you're going to do something every 100 years, you've got to do as best as you can to future-proof it. And so part of future-proofing it is saying, where is the world going? So we spent a lot of time leveraging relationships we have in college sports and professional sports, talk about where the world's going. And the short answer is there are a handful of things happening. The first big thing that's out there is that every Big Ten game is now on television. And so you're competing with television. You're competing in people's living room, the sports bar, but you're also the party, but you're also competing with these new things like Kazaa and other, you know, your phone, everything. So when you compete with that becomes a big factor. What you're seeing in a lot of stadiums is they're having trouble, even the Big House, even places like Notre Dame in the NFL, those last seats, the nosebleeds, first of all, are expensive. They're the most expensive to build, and they're very hard to sell now. And the reason is people can watch it from the comfort of their couch or have an experience with what we're doing. So the reason our building is actually much bigger than the old building. It's almost twice the size of the old building. So this is not a small stadium, but the capacity is 35,000. So let's start with why. And the answer why is pretty simple and I think pretty important. The NFL, even given its, you know, preeminence, will tell you that, used to tell you, that in order to get a Super Bowl, you'd have 75,000 seats. The new NFL stadiums are 55 to 60. Why? It's not the buildings are smaller. It's that last 20,000 seats were so far from the field that people would rather watch it on TV. And so that's a big factor. So if you look at the features of this stadium, we're competing with not only television, but the second big thing is we now live in the experience economy. And people want experiences. You know, a seat, a hot dog, and a Coke is not enough for people to want to go spend the day and drive all that way and, you know, bring their family. And so what we're doing different is we're doing three things very differently that we think will make a big difference in what has been called by many the first NFL-type stadium in college football. The first thing we're doing is we've created what we call better than TV sightlines. So if you look at the stadium, it's more like, I don't know if you remember the old Chicago Stadium, but it's more like that, where that was built for boxing in 1929. Before he passed away, Rocky Wirtz, who's in the Northwestern board, said it reminds me of the old Chicago Stadium. Every seat is on top. That requires you to use more structural steel, and it requires you to cantilever instead of the old-fashioned bowls. But the old-fashioned bowls of the 1920s and 30s, use the technology of the day. The technology of the day with concrete and steel went way out, very slow rise. That slow rise puts people a country mile away from the action. Everything is on top here. So we're 35,000. If you look at the the stadium arena we're most like is Intuit Dome. If you look at the where the seats are. Now, we're twice their capacity, but our seats are that close to the field. Why? Because if people are going to not watch it on television, they want to be on top of the action. And so when you get there, you're going to look and say, you could throw a football to a person in the top row. The furthest seat, if you look at, we talked about Dave Ennett, the person sitting right below Dave Ennett in the press box in at a place like Michigan is 250 feet away, okay, from the from the sideline. At a place like Notre Dame, 230 feet away. The furthest seat, and by the way, those are their best seats because those are their box seats. Those are the club and box seats that are 230 to 250 feet away at those places. At the new Ryan Field, the furthest seat right below the press box would be 136 feet from the sideline. That's better than the best seats in most stadiums. So that better than TV view is the first thing. The second thing we're doing very differently is premium for everybody. A university like ours, you can't have skyboxes for the few and benches for the many, but that's what college football is. Every seat in the stadium is a chairback. Every fan will be covered by the canopy. You know, a canopy in Chicago matters a lot. People say, oh, is that soccer? I said, no, they didn't build it because of the shape of the ball. In the English Premier League, the reason they have canopies has nothing to do with the shape of the ball. It has entirely to do with winter in England is a lot like November in Chicago. It's cold and rainy, and nobody wants to be in the cold rain. Everybody leaves when it's 35, 40 degrees and rainy. By covering the canopy with every seat that's there, and that's unusual. Frankly, you know, Buffalo is invested in the canopy. Theirs covers 65% of the seats. But so for everybody has a seat back, a comfortable seat. Everybody's covered by the canopy. Everybody has premium concessions. And then the other thing is creating this day of experiences because we live in the experience economy. And so you want to have a great time in the bowl, but people want to have more than that. And we'll still have the great tailgating. Tailgating is the staple of what you do. And the tailgating and the student section are the cornerstones of the college football experience. They will continue to be important. But this idea, we have four festival grounds and four clubs. So there are eight experiences you can have pregame as a fan. Three of those four festival grounds are open to any fan with a ticket as if they have their own club. We have the best restaurants of the Chicago area. There'll be a plaza out there where you can watch an earlier game or a late game if it's an early, where you can eat, you know, eat great food, meet up with friends and do that. We have a family festival for kids, people with children where you can, you know, pretend to be a Northwestern or pro football player. You can run through the tires. You can throw the football, do all those kind of fun things. We have a community tailgate. If you didn't pack a big tailgate, you can still, you know, throw bags and have a freshly grilled burger and hang out. And then the fourth one, which isn't available to everybody, is a student event. So the idea is experiences for everybody creates both a premium experience for everybody overlaps. Every fan can go before the game and go to a festival. That will be great. And every fan, importantly, will also have this day of experiences. And so what we did that's very different is that your ticketed and secure perimeter are not the drip line of the building. The ticketed and secure perimeter is like the Super Bowl. It is outside. It's, you know, 100 feet outside, 150 feet outside. And the reason is those festival grounds are actually integral to the day of experiences, because that's what people want. And as you can look from these festival grounds and see the field in many of them. So it's a totally different experience. It's not like there's the stadium and then the area around it. These festivals are part of it. So this idea of better than TV views, premium for everybody, and a day of experiences, we think is what fans want. And so we decided, and everybody's dabbled in those a little bit, we leaned in fully and said, if we want to future-proof this building, let's build it around the experience fans want and where the world's going so that it can be that, you know, what fans really want. Everybody has beautiful renderings. The question is, when you go to a game, is it special? Is it unique? Is it that great moment with your father or your buddies or your family or whatever? And those special moments require a special day, and a special day requires you to be thoughtful about what people really want.
when you bring that up, I can't help but think of Welsh Ryan Arena the first time I went and saw a basketball game there. And it almost felt, people asked, I said, it felt like a theater. It almost felt like a theater, kind of where the seating is at inside there. So I'm kind of understanding the concept of what you're talking about. It is definitely a different experience than the United Center or maybe some of these other big college basketball venues at Purdue. And so it seems quite similar to that.
100%. And actually, if you look at the original idea behind Welsh Ryan Arena, the original vision we had for that was, you know, college basketball wants to be intimate. Everybody's bucket list includes Duke's Cameron Indoor, right? It's notorious. It's crazy. It's a great home court advantage. And I remember in the old Welsh Ryan, Bill Raftery said one of the last games he did for when he was calling for CBS, we saw him afterwards and he said, "This is the loudest place I've been all season." He said, you know, the opposing coach couldn't hear his players. His players, he couldn't hear them 10 feet away. So this idea of, like, have the intensity of Cameron Indoor at Duke, which is known as the most intense place to play, but with the modern amenities, like a really beautiful and premium version of that, and is really what I think we created there. And you saw it, Northwestern beat number one Purdue 2 years in a row in Welsh Ryan. That couldn't come close when they played at Purdue, but at Welsh Ryan they could. The intensity and the wildfire, our fan base, our student fan base was fantastic. And that's a big advantage, but part of it is we're all on top. But if you go to center court at Welsh Ryan, you look up there and, you know, it's an intense experience. It does feel like a theater. We're all on top. I think the new one, I go out there because we're running the project and I'm out there regularly. And you go on the field of the new Ryan Field and you're going to look up and you feel like you're in the movie Gladiator and you're looking to see, will the emperor give you a thumbs up or thumbs down? That's how intense and on top of everybody it is. It's going to be an experience like nothing else in sports. And that 35,000 will feel like 100.
Was there an urgency to get this done now, to do this now, or did the stars just kind of align? We've got a lot of stadium stuff going on around in the city of Chicago and really kind of around the country right now. I didn't know if there was any rhyme or reason for that, whether it be materials prices or people just realizing that this needs to move to the next level of stadiums.
So our approved budget is $862 million. It was originally $856, and then we've added some. We have an opportunity for some premium that there's demand out there. So we built some additional premium as part of the budget. So 862 is the current budget. If I was told if we bid that today, it'd be somewhere in the $1.2 to $1.3 billion range. So we were fortunate, but we weren't, I'd love to say we saw that coming. We didn't. The reason it could happen was because the old Ryan Field was really not in great condition. It needed structural investment. And that's part of the reason the original renovation idea, the reason we didn't go forward with it was because it was going to cost about $480 million to build something that would have been third quartile on day one in college football. And you say, how can you spend that kind of money to build something that's third quartile? I mean, to spend that kind of money would have been more money than ever been spent at the time. Of course, there have been budgets have gone up since. For a renovation, and you'd look at it and say, you get mediocre on day one and only get worse over time. Sure. So we decided if you do this every 100 years, you got to do it right. And that's how we ended up where we are. And, you know, we think that actually it's going to have an excitement and a uniqueness that's going to make it able to, frankly, be more financially viable than one where you spent less money.
Where is the construction at right now today?
The iron workers are doing an incredible job. If you look at it, we are putting on the highest level of the superstructure. So almost all the steel is in place. They're now working on the canopy itself. We expect to have, what they call topping out in the end of September. That's the plan. And we expect to have the building enclosed by early November, where we could start working on the inside, which would be very helpful in the winter. It's coming along really well. The team at Turner Walsh is doing a fantastic job. And you know, it's taking shape in ways we had recruits there where you can really start to feel the differentiators. Like I said, you know, you get down on the field and you could feel how on top of things every fan's going to be, and it's, you know, it just gets people fired up. And I think our recruiting visits, most of the people who came signed up, and I think part of it is they could see themselves playing on that field. And frankly, for kids who all hope to play in the NFL, to play in the first NFL type stadium is unique and exciting.
Have you had any surprises to this point? Anything that maybe you weren't planning for?
Oh, there's a
Maybe
surprise
that's an
every
understatement, huh?
surprise every day, to be honest with you. I mean, listen, you know, when we were excavating, there were worries that we'd find, you know, Native American burial grounds and things like that. We had experts on staff to deal with it if we got there. We haven't, we didn't find any of that. We did find a giant, a giant tank of oil that was used to, I think, run the heating in the old building that we had to remove. No, the biggest problem we've had is actually when we were lower in the field 23 feet. It means that they're doing a couple things for us. By lowering it 23 feet, you actually, it makes it a unique experience because you enter at the main concourse level is actually one level up from the field.
Okay.
So it makes it easier for people. There's a lot less vertical travel. It also makes it more accessible. It'll be the most accessible stadium ever built because there's no stairs except to move between levels. There's no ramps. Everything's just, you know, a very gradual grade that will make it very inviting for everybody. But the pro and it's much better for the neighbors. We didn't get a height, need a height variance. We actually, sometimes people mistake that the building is actually not as tall as the high points of the old building. Because we lowered the field, makes us a better neighbor, makes the building less physically imposing. The problem is we got down 23 feet and it was clay and it wasn't able to support, you know, a building that of that size and scale. And so we had to do quite a bit of mitigation with when we got to the clay. And by getting to that clay, there was some, you know, unexpected time and expense we took there. But the team is, you know, been full speed ahead to try and make up that time. But it's not surprising, you know, you get down to the water table. You also get down, frankly, we're not far from the lake, only about a mile from the lake. So it's not shocking we had that problem. That's been the biggest one. And then, of course, the oil thing. But otherwise, team's been doing a great job, and the guy who's leading it is the guy who actually built SoFi. So he
Okay.
knows how to build football stadiums, and he's a former Army Ranger, Green Beret, who when you go out there, you want ready to run through walls, and he talks about how you build a football stadium uniquely, and you can see the efficiency of how you make everything work. It's like a symphony of all these cranes moving, and the way the iron workers will erect the steel, and then immediately the precast where the seating will come right behind it. And it's incredible the coordination, as they call it in the construction business, the flow of what's happening. So it's amazing.
How minute of details are you getting into? I mean, are they asking you like what sink handles to use in the bathroom? I mean, are you getting those kind of questions?
Well, our team is at Ryan Sports Development is, you know, we have a design team. We have the architects, but we have our own construction and design leadership and oversight. Yeah, I mean, you know, we haven't announced, we have a big water conservation partner we haven't announced yet, but yeah, I was over in their showroom. You know, do you know, every detail matters. And so, you know, one of the things I'll say that we're doing differently, I come out of the technology world. In the technology world, you have to be very user-centric because if you don't build something users love, they're not going to use it and you're out of business. You know, in the sports world, because people build these so infrequently, and, you know, architects have beautiful renderings, everybody has beautiful renderings, there's not a lot of thought about experience. So we've put a lot of thought into experience for the student athlete, experience for the fan, experience for our students. And so we thought a lot about that. And I would say that to get the experiences right, you really do have to think about every detail. And so, yeah, it's the level of detail we're down to is, I think most people look at it and say, not that it, like, how do you spend time on answering the question of, what kind of fixture do you have? What kind of details do you have? But you got to think about it as, what experience are you creating? You don't go to Disney World and say, well, geez, they didn't think of every detail. They do. The best experiences, people do think about every detail, and they think about the fan that's going to be there, or the student athlete that's going to be there, or the student that's going to be there. And so we've gone to that detail, and we spent a lot of time looking at what's best in other places to take the best ideas from others. But frankly, we've also looked and said, for our community, for our student body, what do they really want? What do they really love? And I think that's really, important too.
So once this is all completed, who's going to own it? Who's going to operate it? Who's going to be in charge of scheduling? Is that all Northwestern?
Yeah. So, I mean, the scheduling, it's actually an interesting question. So a couple things. First of all, the stadium will be wholly owned by Northwestern. We are obviously setting it up so that it's it'll be run by a third party operator because, $870 million sports and entertainment complex isn't something an deputy athletic director should be spending all their time on. You've got to think about community events year round. You've got to, we announced our second anchor tenant will be the community. So that'll be adaptive athletes from Showing Ground Ability Lab. It'll be the Evanston Wildcats football team, the flag football team with the young women. We'll play soccer games. We're hoping to host national championship for lacrosse. We'll have community events. So we'll have concerts. And so when you look at a year-round schedule like that, somebody needs to be spending their time thinking about that. And the athletic department needs to be focused on the student athletes. So we will have a third-party operator. We'll be running all this. So it'll be run for the benefit of the university, but run by pros and run, to follow through, keeping our promises to the community. We didn't just give them pretty renderings. We intend to live up to every one of those commitments. And so the university would be the beneficiary of how it's run and is the owner, but we were hiring a third party operator who runs, big venues around the world to come in and run it as professionally. I say, if Kellogg Executive Ed program had a hotel, you wouldn't expect the associate dean to run the hotel. You'd have Marriott run the hotel. So it's the same idea. How do you bring that quality of service and the efficiency and delivering on our promises? You don't build a building of this scale for 7 days a year. You got to build it to be an asset to the community all year round, and to deliver on that promise, you need pros.
You're thinking about it beyond football, though. I mean, you already mentioned lacrosse. I'm sure soccer could potentially be there, concerts as well. Are there other potential tenants beyond the community and Northwestern that could potentially wiggle in there as well?
Well, we'll do a lot of community events. We have clubs that will host events year-round. There'll be great, best special events basis in the North Shore. We've thought about Northwestern soccer. We've thought about, our amateur. Anything that would involve non-collegiate or high school sports, amateur sports is our charter, would be up to the city of Evanston. I think back from when the Bears played there or thought about playing there when they left Wrigley Field, there's a restriction on no professional sports teams at Ryan Field. So that's a question for the mayor and the city council, not for us, but we're, we're spending our time thinking about how do we maximize the amateur athletic use of it. We're going to be hosting the Women's National Lacrosse Championships at the Lakefront next spring. Be really exciting. Be great to have something like that at Ryan Field, for example. Love to have, Big Ten tournaments and things like that at Ryan Field. So that's where our head is. And if the city ever decides to do something different, obviously we'll follow their lead. But that's not where I think it's today.
So you don't see direct competition with some of these other venues around the Chicago area, whether it be music venues or sports venues. I mean, it's its own life system. You're not relying on, you're not competing with the United Center for concerts. You're not planning on competing with Ravinia for concerts. Or
I think the concert side is the one area we will compete. I mean, the other places don't really host a lot of college sports. But no, I think for concerts, we will compete, but we think we'll compete very favorably. I mean, we have you know, if you think about the large venues, we're twice the size of United Center and we're outdoors. So we compete in a different market. They compete in the year-round market with most of it being in the fall, winter, spring. We'll compete for stadium shows. You know, they compete for arena shows. Those are different setups. So I don't think we'll really compete with United Center. You know, Soldier Field's much bigger. I think it's more that we will occupy a really interesting place in the market. At 28,500, there are a lot of bands that, you know, I think will find that very attractive. But to be frank, I think the bigger thing we'll offer is the intimacy that if we're going to be the close, this, to be clear, the new Ryan Field will have the closest seats to the field of any football stadium in America. And that will be amazing to watch football there. Part of having 35,000 is we don't have the extra 15, 20 on the upper decks from there. Without the extra 20,000, we can make all of the seats closer to the field because we don't have to worry about blocking that last 15, 20,000. So that'll be really cool for football. It'll be great for college sports like soccer and lacrosse. But here's the other thing. For concerts, this will have the intimacy of an arena with the scale of a stadium show. And if you talk to artists and their agents, they all love the idea of the connectivity with their fan. You know, frankly, a place that's got 50, 60,000 like Soldier Field can't have that intimacy. A place that's built for baseball just can't have that intimacy because of the size of the field. So we not only have, because of our size, the intimacy, but because we invested in that structural steel, that cantilevering to give that better than TV view for football, which will give the best sight lines and the closest seats of any football stadium in the U.S. or any soccer stadium for that matter at our scale. There'll be no building at our scale that will have seats anywhere near as close as ours. If you're an artist who wants to connect with their fan, there's nowhere you could do a stadium show in the world that will have you as close to your fans as this. You'd have to do an arena with only half the people in the building. So, and without the ability to do the big productions you could do on the field. So we do think what we developed for football to create that intimacy and that home field advantage of an intense environment. You know, I made the gladiator joke. You feel like you go back to Roman times. That's also going to be amazing for concerts. And I think you're going to see that concerts, artists are going to love being that intimately close with their fans, yet able to do the big production they do at a Soldier Field or a Wrigley Field.
Last question. I appreciate the time. When you envision it being completed, where does your mind go? Are you sitting at the 50-yard line for a football game? Are you sitting in the back at a concert? Like, when you envision this being completed, where does your brain go?
You know, there's so many great experiences. I think I'm going to want to be able to experience them all. You know, we'll have a box in the main stadium club, which will be a fantastic experience. But you know what? We also have a club for the Chicago business community that's going to be some of the best, probably the nicest clubs in any college and maybe in even any pro stadium in America with the same incredible sight lines. I'm going to want to visit that. We have a field club where you're actually on the field where the team runs out through the middle and the post game press conference is there adjacent to what's a Northwestern themed sports bar. Like, that's going to be amazing. We have for our loyal alums and our longtime, and our young student alums, we have a thing called the Loft Club. That the Loft Club, our architect says, those are the seats he wants to sit in because the sight lines will be unbelievable. At the same time, you know, I also say, if you don't like the environment at the bleachers at Wrigley, don't sit here. And so there's so many great experiences, and with the seats all being so great and all these different, this day of experiences, I want to experience them all. I think it's going to be something for everyone. And I think because there's so many different cool experiences, each of them offers their own thing. Some people want to sit on the 50 and be as close as they can. Other people want to be on the field. Other people want to be in the equivalent of bleachers at Wrigley, but with some of the best sight lines of any football stadium in America. Other people want a great corporate VIP experience because Chicago's Big Ten Stadium, you know, we attract when Michigan comes. What we've seen with playing at Wrigley is when you have a cool venue, you know, this is going to be Michigan's probably biggest off-campus event of the year. It was probably Ohio State's biggest off-campus event of the year. It was Iowa's biggest off-campus event of the year. So I think you're going to see that not only, remember, Chicago is the home for the traditional Big Ten, the largest alumni base of every traditional Big Ten school, just because it's so big and it's the heart of the Big Ten. And it's the number one destination. If you're from Michigan, you're from Iowa, you're from Ohio, you love coming to Chicago so that weekend in Chicago. Our AD, Mark Jackson, who was the number two at USC, he said the USC trip, they would probably get 5,000 people to make the trip to Notre Dame, but they would spend the weekend in Chicago and just go down for the afternoon to Notre Dame. So we think everybody's going to want to come. Now, we want to fill it with purple, and it's going to be important to us to fill it with purple, but this is going to be a bucket list experience because Chicago is such a great place to visit in the fall, and Chicago's Big Ten Stadium is going to be this draw for a lot of people, and we just got to make sure that our fans decide to keep their tickets so you know they'll be looking from the outside in, but it's going to have that draw because think of it, Big Ten football, the last two national champions, and we have six different schools that have been in the CFP in the last 2 years. SEC second with three. So the conference is at the peak. The national draw is going to be great. Chicago's a huge draw. And then this unique venue, not only the first NFL-type stadium in college football, but it'll be the best place to see and experience football in America. That with Chicago and the Big Ten is going to be a really potent combination. And I think people around the country are going to be excited to experience it.
Well, it sounds very cool. The renderings look very cool. Pat Ryan Jr., thanks so much for jumping on. I really appreciate it.
Great. Great to be here.
Follow WGN's Stadium Club at WGNRadio.com, Spotify, Apple, and any place you find podcasts.